Women's E-News, weekly summary of news about women, women's issues, and from women's perspectives, from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of September 27th, 2008. I'm Sandy Billings. Let's start with the good news. Cheers! Women are giving more. Women are on track to triple their political giving in 2008 compared to year 2000. This jump is spurred by three decades of income gains, which have fattened women's paychecks by 60%. So far, women have given $200 million to Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Barack Obama, and they've given $109 million to his GOP opponent, Senator John McCain. Women donated $120 million to Senator Hillary Clinton's bid for the Democratic nomination. With all that, women still represent just under a third of all campaign contributions. But in other categories of civic generosity, philanthropy, and donations, women have surpassed men for the first time. This comes from 2005 federal tax data that put women's gifts at $21.7 billion and men's at $16.8 billion. More news to cheer this week. Diane Schroer won her sex discrimination case against the Library of Congress. The library argued that federal law did not protect Schroer as a transgender woman. Schroer applied for the job as a male, then disclosed that she would transition to a woman after she was hired. A Malian woman received a second shot at asylum in the United States when Attorney General Michael Mukasey ordered a mid-level federal court to reconsider the case based on female genital mutilation. U.S. immigration courts rule on 40,000 cases per year, but the Attorney General has weighed in only 3 times in 3 years. Title IX has not caused the elimination of women's sports teams, according to analysis of collegiate athletics by the Women's Sports Foundation. The study partly blames unrestrained spending on the most lucrative sports, mostly football and men's basketball, for causing cutbacks in other programs. New regulations require Chinese police to respond to the scene of all complaints of domestic violence. The 8th annual Brides March in New York on September 26th, organized by the New York Latinas Against Violence, continued to memorialize the 1999 wedding day murder of Gladys Ricard. A September 29 concert at the Times Center in New York will feature a program of music entirely composed by living U.S. women. And now for the downside, jeers for news that women die in childbirth. 500,000 women continue to die in pregnancy or childbirth every year, while another 10 to 15 million sustain injuries during delivery. Maternal mortality is the largest health inequity in the world, according to UNICEF. A woman in Niger faces a 1 in 7 chance of dying from childbirth-related causes, while a woman in Sweden's risk is 1 in 17,400. In addition, 334,000 midwives could reduce the number of women dying in pregnancy and childbirth worldwide by 75%. This according to the World Health Organization. In a bright spot, the United Nations Population Fund has pledged $9 million to improve access to midwives in 11 countries in Africa that have high maternal mortality rates. More news to jeer this week. Declines in U.S. abortion rates mask the problem of unintended pregnancy among women of color and women with lower incomes. Abortion rates dropped by a third between 1980 and 2004, reaching the lowest level since 1974. But amid that, the abortion rate for black women was 5 times higher than for white women, and Latina women had a rate 3 times higher. 60% of women who had abortions already had children. TV star Alec Baldwin is promoting the debunked theory of parental alienation syndrome in a new book called A Promise to Ourselves. The book is about his bitter custody dispute with actress Kim Basinger. The parental alienation argument is often used to award custody to fathers and away from battered women who have accused the father of family violence. Proponents of the alienation syndrome argue that mothers are making the abuse claims only as leverage in custody battles. Acute poverty in central Uganda is causing more girls to be sold into early marriage and prostitution. In Wasiko District, 30% of school children have STDs, 60% suffer abuse, and 30% of dropouts from school are after pregnancies or early marriage. This, according to a study by Concern for Children and Women Empowerment, an advocacy group. In the United Arab Emirates, almost 40% of women are employed compared with 92% of men. Many women seek jobs abroad, which widens the gender gap in workforce participation, according to the Ministry of Labor. Researchers found cancer-related chemicals in the blood and urine samples of 20 teenage girls from across America. While those teens in the study used many cosmetics that included the potentially harmful ingredients, the tests also indicated the presence of many other potentially dangerous chemicals. The ingredients in common cosmetics impact hormones and could cause cancer or other health problems. In memoriam, Nancy Hicks Maynard, the first African-American woman to own a major daily U.S. newspaper, died September 21 from organ failure in Los Angeles. She was 61. Maynard also co-founded the Robert C. Maynard Institute for Journalism Education to train minority reporters and encourage newsrooms across the country to diversify their staffs and reporting. She and her husband took over the Oakland Tribune in 1983, then sold it in 1992. Quote, "She was fearless, always very optimistic also about what could be achieved," her former colleague Steve Montale told the paper. Mary Garber, known as Miss Mary to colleagues, died at age 92 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina on September 21st. She is the only woman to win sports journalism's highest honor, the Red Smith Award, and is believed to be the first female staff sports reporter at a daily paper. Early in her career, she wore skirts, the only acceptable attire for a woman at the time, as she ran up and down the sidelines of football games. At the Winston-Salem Journal, where she spent much of her 51-year career, she covered all the male sports and also reported on female athletes and games held at historically black colleges and high schools that were ignored by other papers. These news briefs were compiled by Dominique Sogel and Jennifer Thurston. Rita Henley Jensen is the editor-in-chief. Background music is by Joan Hickey. This production of Women's E-News is brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio. This column and more news about women can be found at the Women's E-News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio, I'm Sandy Billings.